Today's daf is Tzadi Dalet. We got well into Tzadi Dalet yesterday. It's pretty much a review, a different version of the discussion. I should have went one more line. I realized there are two more lines. I stopped kind of in the middle. But the Gemara was talking about whether we trust in Eid Echad with respect to the Yavam or with respect to the husband, and whether or not the Yavam is more likely to love the brother-in-law or to hate the brother-in-law. So let's. Should we go back? Let's just take it where we left off. I guess we're going back and forth about one aid, two aid. We'll take it from the top line, actually. Tzai Dalet Amun Aleph, Amar Rav Sheshis. So Rav Sheshis wanted to bring a raya from this discussion about whether an Eid Echa is believed with respect to the Yavam, I think this situation was, right? So Rav Sheshis brings a raya, Tanisua, Amrula, the quotes from our Mishnah, Amrula, they say to her, Meis Balecha, your husband had died, Vachakach, Meis Bincha, then after your husband died, your son died. So it turns out, what? Okay, Shkoyach. So then her husband died, and then her son died. So then Vinissa, she goes out and gets married, because since her son was alive when her husband died, so she's not Zakak Ler Yavam, so she's Mutta Lashuk. She goes ahead and gets married. Then they tell her, by the way, I'm sorry, it was the other order, that really first your son died, and then your husband died, which means you're really zakuk to your yavam, and you can't go ahead and marry someone in Lashuk. So the halacha is, Tate says she has to get divorced. V'havlad rishon v'achron mamzer, and the children from the second relationship are going to be mamzer. Heichi dami, what's the case of the edim coming and switching around the order? Ilei matrei v'trei, if it's a case where two edim first came, and then another two edim say, no, it's actually the other way around. So my chaz is the samchas ahani, samach ahani, like we said yesterday. Why are we being samach on the second edom that they're the right ones? Maybe we should be samach on the first edom that they're really the father, the husband died before the son. So we have no reason to believe the second set of edom. And mamzer, savik mamzer. It won't be vade mamzer. It's only a savik because we really don't know what happened. We don't have good evidence which happened first. So it's only a savik mamzer at worst. Maybe the Mishnah wasn't being so precise, and when it said the word mamzer, it really meant suffik mamzer. It's not true because the Mishnah was being very precise. From the Sefer that it said harishon mamzer v'achron ein mamzer, but the fact that it is distinguishing between a mamzer and a non-mamzer, the Mishnah also knows how to distinguish between a vade mamzer and a suffik mamzer. So we learn from the Mishnah that clearly it's being very precise. So it can't be that situation of trey utrey. So what's the situation the Mishnah is talking about? It must be where there's an Eid Echad that says the husband died first and then the son. You're mutter to marry B'shuk. The time of Dalsu Beitrei. And only because two Eidim later came and said it was the other way around, Achush say that the two Eidim are able to trump the Eid Echad. But had it not been two Eidim, had two Eidim not been protesting the testimony of the Eid Echad, we would have believed the Eid Echad. So we clearly see that an Eid Echad is believed with regards to the husband. So the Gemara says, Liolam treu treu. Really, it's treu treu. But didn't we say, how could you trust the second set of Edom, not the first set of Edom? Uchadamar of Acha bar minyunum be'ede hazama hachanami be'ede hazama. In a different context, if Acha says we're talking about two Edom that are talking about hazama, here too we're talking about two Edom that are hazama. What's hazama? So the Rashi tells us, and we know this, but Rashi for some reason tells us what it is, just in case. This is probably the first time I think we saw hazama nivamos. So Rashi says, "Be'ite hazama she'achronim hezimu es harishonim v'amu imanu ha'isim derachmanu heimenu." A special halacha of Gzeres HaKasuv that the Eid Zomim usually trey trey, they just neutralize each other. But when Eidim Zomim say that to the first Eidim, you guys were with us at this place at that time, you couldn't have been there. That's a special halacha of Eidim Zomim, and there we do believe the second Eidim over the first set of Eidim, and that's a very specific case we're talking about here. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Like to conspire, I think, would be the English translation. To
why we believe them?
It's a special halacha, special gzeres hakasuv. Believe them. Okay, so that's the discussion of Rav Ashi. Now, continuing along this discussion, Amle Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, Amle Rav Acha le Rav Ashi. Toshma, going to bring the following raya. Ein ish, ein ha'isha, ne'manas, lomar, meis yivami, shanase. So a woman's not believed to say that my yavam died. It's talking about a case where her husband died, and she said, oh, my yavam died also, which means I'm free to marry anybody I want. That's, she's not believed. Below meis achosi, shekhanes lebesa. She also can't say, my sister died. She wants to marry her sister's husband. So she can't say, my sister died, now I can marry my brother-in-law, my sister's husband. We don't believe her either. So the Gemara says, Nihi delo mehemen, so he nihi delo mehemen, she's not believed herself. But the diyuk would be, we would believe in Eid Echad with regards to the Yavam. That's the question we're trying to figure out. Is an Eid Echad believed with respect to the Yavam and permitting the Yavam to go marry Bashuk? So again, what happens is her husband dies, now she's stuck to the Yavam. Can Eid Echad say, the Yavam died, you're now mutter to go marry Bashuk? So the diyuk that the Gemara is making is that only the woman herself is not believed to say that her brother-in-law died and she's mutter Bashuk. But in Eid Echad, the diyuk we're making is that Eid Echad is believed to say that the Yavam did die. The Gemara says, according to your...
Yeah? The husband.
Sorry?
The Yavam or the husband?
The Yavam. The husband died already. She's not, right now, she's Zakuk Yavam. And she's waiting for the Yavam. Sorry?
Well, no, it's a different case.
This is the case that we're trying to figure out. Is an Eid Echad believed to say that the Yavam died and she's now Mutter Lashuk? So the Gemara says, according to this type of reasoning, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa of this very brisa that the Gemara just quoted. It says, Ein ha'ish ne'man lomar meis achi, she'yavam es ishto. So a man's not able to say, my brother died, and now I need to marry his wife. I need to perform Yibam. He's not believed. V'lo meisa ishti, she'asa es achosa. And he can't say, my wife died, I'm allowed to marry her sister. We don't believe him. So the diak here is, who nihi delo mehman? He himself, the husband's not believed in these two cases. Ha'id echad mehman, but an eid echad is believed. Okay. So that's the diak. And what's going to be the problem if you make such a diak? So bishlama gavi isha mishim iguna akila barabanan. We understand why by an eid echad and a woman, you believe in eid echad to say that a husband died. Eid echad is believed by a husband dying. Because a woman, there's an iguna. There's a special exception why we believe eid echad. But ela gavi ish ma ikla memra. But how could an eid echad ever be believed with respect to a man marrying his person's sister? There's no head to there. As we say, his brother died. There's no iguna factor there. So in general, we don't trust in eid echad. It's only a special exception. We don't want the woman to be stuck forever as an iguna that we rely on eid echad. So there's no head there for a husband never to rely on eid echad. So the diuk's obviously not true. Because if you were to make such diuk in the brisa, you would have concluded that an eid echad would be believed for the purposes of a husband, which is clearly not going to be the case. So you can't make such a diuk in this brisa in either direction. So no rye from this. So the question becomes then, so what diuk should we make from this? Should be some diuk that needs to be made from this brisa. It's clearly excluding some case, but it can't be the Eid Echad. Eid Echad cannot be the conclusion, as we just said. Ella, ki itzirich Rabbi Akiva itzirich. It's all needed for the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva? So the famous, the halach Rabbi Akiva, we should at least walk away with that from Yivamos. We had to walk away with like five big yedios. One of the five should be that Rabbi Akiva holds a yesh mamzer mechayvi lavin. Whenever it's a chi of lavin, it creates a mamzer.
Can so you write them?
Write them? Yeah. What else would they be? Let's see. I'm not sure what else.
You said five.
I know. I'm saying if there would be five, this I think would be top five of Yivamos. What?
I remember one. There's two sheets.
Yesh mamzer Rabbi
Akiva. Right. There are two sheets, right? In terms of lav the she'er or lav grade, right?
Oh, we finished the masechta. We'll have one big chazar.
Okay, right. A five minute, 5 minute review. So what do you need for Rabbi Kiva? So Ella ki itzirich Rabbi Kiva itzirich tzakadaita chamina hol ve'amar Rabbi Kiva. Since Rabbi Kiva holds yesh mamzer mechayav ilavin, ema chayisha akil kula dizara v'daika kamashmam. Maybe you would think by the case of this case of Eid Echad. Let's see. This is a long Rashi there, right? I'm going to re-scan this and try to explain. Right, when it comes to the woman's perspective, that the reason why you would believe in Eid Echad by a woman is because she's going to investigate much further. She wouldn't want her children to be Mamzerim.
Based on Rabbi
Akiva. If you hold Rabbi Akiva, then there's an Isser, because again, right now she's Zakuk Liyavam. There's a lav, not a karis, but there's a lav for her to marry somebody else. So according to Rabbi Akiva, since there's a lav for her to marry somebody else before chalitza is performed, that lav, any children she has with that lav, will generate mamzerim. She won't want her children to be mamzerim. So she's going to look into it very much to ensure that her husband really died, even though it's 1-8. And we trust her in that regard. That's the havmina. Kamash milan, we don't trust her. So I'm just trying to figure out how to read this in. So let's look at Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Ella, I doubt we'll do the whole thing. Rashi writes, Ella. Lo tedek mineha eid echad mehemen. Don't make the dig that only she's not believed and only he's not believed, but an eid echad would be believed in both cases of the woman or the man. Don't make such a dig. di guf yitzrich, you need the actual halacha. It's not meant to make a dik that this is something and we're implying something else. That the actual halacha is meant to teach you something. And that itself, what's the halacha? Dehi gufa itzrich la hashmuna de lo mehemne. This has to teach us we don't believe the woman herself. Valiba de Rabbi Kiva itzrich. According to, in the world of Rabbi Kiva, the sakadaita chol v'amar Rabbi Kiva yesh ma'amzer miyavam alashuk. Since he holds that yavam alashuk, she's connected to yavam, and she marries lashuk, her children will be mamzerim. Chayisha kalkikula, she's going to be choshesh that her children are going to be mamzerim. When she says that my yavam, my brother-in-law died, she should allow to be get married. She should allow to get married because we trust her. She doesn't want her children to be mamzerim. She must have done the proper research, and her yavam really died. That's the havamina. Kamash milan de lo mehemna. To teach us, we do not believe her. Mishum de zimnan de sanilei v'kadamer. Maybe she hates him and just doesn't want to be with him at all. So that's what's coming to teach us. So when the halacha, sometimes the halacha, the Mishnah, Brisa teaches us something, that's not such a great chiddush. The chiddush is what we learn from it, the implication. But sometimes the actual halacha is a chiddush, and when the actual halacha is a chiddush, we don't need to infer anything else from it. So here that's what the Gemara is saying, that of course we don't believe her. Initially, the Gemara says, of course we don't believe her to say her Yavam dies. So it must be trying to teach us something about a diak that by the Eid Echad. And the Gemara says, no. The halacha, there's a chiddush in telling us that we don't believe her. That itself is a chiddush. Because you would think that since Rabbi Kiva holds that the law of she marries somebody else from the shuk, it would be chayv a mamzer. She doesn't want her children to be a mamzer, so she must have done the proper research, and she wouldn't marry somebody else unless she knows for sure that her yavam died.
So we should believe her.
We should believe her. Kamash Milan, the Gemara says, we do not believe a woman to say that her yavam died. Okay.
But yet that's not sufficient to now answer our other question about whether or not we're going to believe in Eid Echad. Even though one of the studim there was, since she's usually rely on Daikim Mitzvah, here she's not going to be Daikim Mitzvah because the Misnahu, the Sanile. In other words, this is accepting that Hanacha, that there's a woman who may have a hatred towards her brother-in-law, that's a common concern.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough to shed light on the question about whether or not Eid Echad works.
Correct.
Daikim Mitzvah is undermined by the Sanile.
Right.
Because we went back and forth on the last off about whether there's a desanile or whether there's a
Dirachmana,
but
right.
Even if you hold desanile, it doesn't answer that question.
Right. It's still an open question. I agree.
So what's the case based on the Tanakama that we don't believe her and she do get married and the Yavam is alive? What the kid considered to be?
If she's a Yavama, so we passing like, not like Rabbi Kiva, we passing that mamzer only comes from Mrs. Bezdin and Chivi Karis, right?
Okay.
Right.
So it's not a mamzer.
Right.
Because it's Chai Vilaf, basically.
Right.
She was over Lotase. Okay.
Right. Exactly. So I'll tell you, once you're talking about mamzer, I'll tell you an interesting case that just someone told me.
But, I'm sorry. Today you have a lot of mamzerim.
Yeah, why?
Because look at the world. Just look at it. Look at Israel. Not to say Lashon Hara, but that's reality.
No, I'm saying
what about, no. What the case will be? And it happened today a lot, I'm sure, you know.
No, but why do you have some mamzer? Why do you say there's so many mamzer in Israel?
Because Erva and Biot Asurot and all kind of...
Biot Asurot is not necessarily going to create a mamzer. It's only if the Eish Ish has a child with another husband. I'm not sure if that's common to have a child with another man, while she's married. Znus is common, but not to have a child from another man.
So then, if somebody is having a relation with a married woman, the child is a mamzer.
Yeah, but I don't think they're having children together.
Things happen.
It could happen, but I don't think it's rampant. Yes, znus is rampant, but not having children from the Eish Ish.
I don't think they're careful. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, in America, everybody.
What will be
proud.
The deen?
These guys are proud that they have, you know, 8 children with 4 different women.
Well, those aren't Jews, though.
I
hope not.
What would be the deen if Mama Shemamza was born? And he was Mizchazik. He met Chabad. He became Chassid. You know?
It's unfortunate. Mamzer. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Still a pastor.
Okay. So the Gemara says now, after the parentheses, we'll skip the parentheses. Rav Amar. Rav says, an Eid Echad Neman B'Yavama. An Eid Echad is believed to say that her Yavam did die, we're going to believe him. Mikal V'Chomer, how does he know this from a Kal V'Chomer? L'Isser Karis Hatarta, L'Isser Lav L'Kol Shgein. If an Eid Echad could permit Isser Karis, which is what? An Eish is Ish. So she's right now to be with her as an Eish is Ish, as an Isser Karis. But we said if an Eid Echa comes along and says your husband dies, we're permitting an Eish Zish who's Karis to marry somebody else in the Shuk. So if an Eid Echa is able to permit an Eish Zish, an Issa Karis, certainly it should be permitted to permit an Issa Lav to say that the Yavam died and she's now allowed to marry the Shuk. So Amalei Hahum Rabbanan, one of the Talmidim said to Rava, he Atzma Tochiach, that itself is the rejection of this klal. Why? Dil Issa Karis Hatarta Lissa Lav Lo Hatarta. So I think it's what he's saying, but we only find a klal, we never find anywhere else, that Eid Echad is only permitted by Karis. We never find such a klal that it's permitted by Lav. I'm not sure how this rejects the Kal v'Chomer. I'm not sure what it's saying. It's simply that in the text, and the proof, there's nothing we ever see such an application. It doesn't seem like it's a logical question.
Saying that her edus in general is believed for an Issur
Karis. She herself. Okay, that's what you're saying. Yeah. She herself is permitted to testify that her husband died. We trust, we rely on her. But we just saw above, we don't rely on her to say that her Yavam died. So just like there's a distinction with respect to her own testimony, it's not such a great chiddush to say that we don't trust the Eid Echad either. There's such a distinction. The Eid Echad is believed by her husband, but an Eid Echad may not be believed by her Yavam. Okay, very good. So the Gemara says, Ella ihi my time Allah memna. Why is it true that she's not believed by her Yavam? The Cheva and the Zimna and the Sanile, lo daika minseve. So since she may hate him, so she's not going to be so careful in looking at whether he died or not. She's going to just ignore him, turn away, and find someone else to marry. So therefore, we don't trust her. But Eid Echad nami, the Cheva and the Zimna and the Sanile, lo daika minseve. So Eid Echad, I'm not sure this is meant to be in a question now, or is it meant to be in a statement. Why would Eid Echad hate him? Let's see.
No, we're saying her supporting the Eid Echad wouldn't be daika mitzvah, just like we thought in the original question.
Uh-huh. So the Eid Echad, who might just be supporting her, and yeah, that's what it's saying?
Because one of the tzaddim of our question was that we rely on her because we're not really relying on the Eid Echad, we're relying on her because she's daika mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
Just like you're saying that the reason she lost Nemanis was Daika Mitzvah, the Eid Echad also may lose Nemanis over Daika Mitzvah.
Uh-huh. Right.
When she marries, when the husband dies, so you believe Eid Echad, but when she said, when the Yabams die, you do not believe him so much because of the reason that she might hate this guy.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's the point. So Adam's explaining here that Eid Echad also, the Eid Echad, when he says that someone died, or let's say the husband died, it's not because we believe the husband, it's because that just gets us thinking maybe he really died and she's going to do the proper research and we're really trusting on her. But in the case of the Yavam, the Eid Echad testifies that the Yavam died, where it's also we're going to trust her or not. And since we don't trust her because she may very well hate him and she might jump the gun and get married before doing the proper research, we cannot rely on an Eid Echad in the case of a Yavam. Okay. Gemara now quotes Zeb Medrash Darash Rabbi Elezer Ben Maaser. Gemara is quoting now, I believe, from the Mishnah. See how far back we're going here. Was the Mishnah? This may be Brisa. Do you remember? Where was the Mishnah again? Sai Beis Amin Aleph. Okay. The Mishnah taught us. This is the last line of the Mishnah on Sai Beis Amin Aleph that I'm going to read it out loud. That Zeb Darash Rabbi Elezer Ben Maaser V'isha Grusha Me'isha V'lo Me'isha Eina Isha. So I guess the previous discussion was talking about what classifies as a grusha. So he says, the pasuk says, isha grusha meisha lo meisha sheino isha. If someone gives you a woman a get in the street, that doesn't make her a grusha, but just because he was given a get. A get's only something that is given to a husband to a wife. So if they're married, so then the get's going to make her a grusha. But if they were never married, the giving a get is going to be meaningless. So on this, yeah.
That's why there was no reich get by the Kohen when she only got Niskacha by the second guy, not Nises by the second guy.
I'd say if it was only Kedushin and their husband shows up, so then the Kedushin wasn't really Chal, there's no, she wasn't Isha yet. And therefore giving the get won't apostle her to the Kohen. But if she was married and get, then she received the get, then that would be more of a reich get.
Ah.
The mission there on Tzadi Beis was talking about a case where she was married to a Kohen, and then she was told that her husband died. So she goes ahead and marries.
Kohen himself died.
Yeah, that was her husband, right? And then the husband shows up. She's allowed to go back and marry her husband. Now, even though
she's married to him.
Right, well, she's allowed to say mutter. If she was with another man, she's normally usher to her husband.
Okay.
But in this case,
because
she's
of what din of
right. The case here is kedushin. That she's married, her husband goes overseas. She's told that her husband dies. She goes engaged. Well, yeah, she goes get engaged, kedushin to another man. Only kedushin, not okay. Nisun.
And not so bila.
Right, exactly. Kedushin is before any bia.
Okay.
So and then her husband shows up. So the halacha is she's mutter, even though the second husband gave her a get. She's mutter because only a get from Nisuin will make her a grusha, but a get from Kedushin will not make her a grusha. And that's based on the pasuk. It says
the kohen he's not allowed to marry grusha.
Right. So that's because the pasuk says if isha grusha lo tikach or something, that a kohen can't marry grusha. It's only if she's a grusha from a isha, from a marriage, not a grusha from a Kedushin.
Even kohen gadol not allowed to marry grusha?
Or yes, a kav chomer. Kohen gadol could also not marry an amana. That's a greater halacha by kohen gadol. So now this medrash, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, and Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Havalei the Rabbi Elazar the medrash bay Marganisa. Rabbi Elazar could have really darshened a wonderful pearl, I guess, Marganisa. The Darish Bechaspa, and instead he decided to take another track and he Darish the Chaspa, a piece of earthenware, nothing so exciting. So, Mar Marganisa, what was the other possible drush he could have made that he didn't make? What was the pearl? The Tanya, the Bryce said it's another drush from the words, Viisha Grusha. Miisha, Afilo Skarsha Ela Miisha, Psula Lukahuna, Vahainu Reach Aget, the Posa Bakuna. The drush he could have said was that a woman who is divorced is Asa Tekoim. From his wife, even if they only divorced Miisha, she's still going to be possible. What does that mean, only divorced from the wife? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Lo niskarsha ela Miisha. Kigon shikasa la get. The husband writes to get to her. Vamar la, he says to her, Harei at megureshes mimeni, viat muteres la chaladam. You are divorced from me. At the same time, you are usher to the rest of the world. You are going to stay a guna for the rest of your life. Shlo niskarsha zula gamre ela Miisha nifrada. She was not divorced, and she's only severed from her husband, but she wasn't mutter to the rest of the world. So in such a case, Rashi explains, "Psula l'kuna im meis v'hutra linase." She's possible to kohen. That's what a reacha get is. Even though it's not really a good get, because a get's only defined by has to be a full krisus, says the Gemara elsewhere. It has to be fully severed, where she's mutter to the rest of the world. But since he gave her a get, and it was somewhat, it's based on the drasha that even Miisha, if she's only divorced from her husband alone, but not mutter to the rest of the world, that's enough to make her puzzle to a kohen. That's what's called reacha get. It's a smell. It smells like a get, but it's not an actual get. And that's enough to disqualify her. That's a drasha that Rebbe Elazar could have made, but instead he made the other drasha of Miisha Grusha in regards to the kohen only being puzzle from a grusha from a nisun as opposed to a grusha from a kedushin.
Wouldn't it have really been relevant, that drasha, in this case? I mean, he's making a drasha to support the Mishnah that says that if she gets kedushin afterwards, and then she subsequently divorces him because the husband returns, she's not puzzle to the husband. So he's saying on that, Isha Grusha Miisha, that it had to be Isha, but it had to be a real get. He's saying it's svar to be matir. Isn't he?
Our Mishnah is saying something leheter, right? And this
isha
is
grusha miisha v'lo miisha sheinu isha, and therefore it's not a reacha get. Rabbi Elazar Mamasi is telling this far away. It's mutter.
Not only reacha, I think it's two different cases here. Completely two different cases. He's talking about a get. Isha grusha only applies to a nisuin, not to kedushin. That's one topic. And this talking about in nisuin, even giving such a type of get where it's only divorced from the husband but not mutter to the world. That's going to be reacha get. That'll be possible to a kohen. I think different. We're talking about different.
But this one's a svara to be to aser, to svara to aser by her husband, and this is a svara to be makel that it's not considered a gerushin from the second one. I don't see how this drasha here would have been right. It's not that the Gemara is saying this drasha is a bad drasha, right?
No, I think it's saying this drasha could have been taken two different directions. He took one direction, which fit into our Mishnah. It could have been taken a different direction, which would not have fit into our Mishnah at all, just a different drasha from these words. I think.
Does it mean he doesn't hold to this drasha?
Well, I think if you hold to this drasha, you couldn't hold to the other drasha. Mm-hmm. You'd probably have to say that a grusha, even from a kedushin, would be possible to a kohen. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure why this is a better drasha than the drasha in the Mishnah, though. I don't know why one's better. Why one's called Marganisa and one's called a Chaspa. Okay. The new mission down the bottom of the Tzadi Dalar Manal tells us that Misha Halcha Isha Lemedina Sayam. And this time the wife is going overseas. Up until now we've been talking about the husband going overseas. Now the wife's going overseas. She goes overseas. Bov Amrulo, they go back and tell her husband, Mesa Ishtecha. So your husband died, or your wife rather died. Vinosis Achosa. So normally he's allowed to marry anybody he wants, as many wives as he wants. So what's relevant whether his wife dies or not? Well, it's relevant, he's now allowed to marry her sister. The law is, the Pasuk tells us in Achrimos, you can't marry two sisters while they're alive. If one of them dies, then you can marry the sister. So she's told that your wife died. So now he goes ahead and marries her sister. Acharkach Basa, his wife shows up at the door now. Mutaris Lach Serlo, you're allowed to go stay married to your initial wife. Umutar Bekrovos Shnia, and he's mutter in the relatives of the second wife, the sister.
Assuming, the same relatives.
So unless they have, let's say, different parents. So they have to have the same father, but they have different mothers. So let's say it's the relative from the mother of the second wife, their mother. Ushni Mutaris Bekrovov, and she, the second sister's mutter, and the relatives of the man. Nevim Meisa Rishon, and if after showing up, the sister, his wife dies, Mutar B'Shinia, she's now to go marry the second wife now, the second sister. Let's say the case is Amrulo.
That's how we all today, huh?
Well, yeah.
Meaning if somebody married somebody and she died, you can marry a sister.
Yeah.
Rabbi.
Yeah, there's actually a Gemara in Mekutin, I think it's Rav Yosef. The Gemara is talking about you're not allowed to get married after a wife dies. You have to wait 3 months to get married. It's just Medina Velas and stuff. So, but if it's a situation where there's no children, there's a mitzvah peravu, or there's young children that need to be tended to, there needs to be a mother, then you're allowed to get married even sooner. I think it's Rav Yosef, who his wife passed away. He had very young children. So in the Beis Kfaros, he says to his wife's sister, marry me.
Be ready,
marry me. So they got married. And they didn't have any bia though for 3 months, but they got married. This way she could take care of the house and all the kids. And then afterwards, they finally completed the nisun. But yeah, that's how we would hold. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Amrulo Mesa Ishto, V'nasas Achosa. So they say to him, your wife died. So he goes ahead and marries her sister. V'hakach Amrulo Kayames, she's actually alive. Okay. So, Kayemus Haisa, rather, she was alive at the time, but now she really died. So, Lacha here is, Havla Rishon Mamzer, Ha'achmanin Mamzer. So, now, I'm not sure why this didn't say in the first case in the Mishnah. It would be the same thing there also. The Mishnah, in the first case, it never addressed the status of the children. But Enoch and Ami, had they had children from the second sister, it would have been Mamzerim. But here it's saying that when he's told that she was actually alive when he got married, but now she died. So, if it was the children that were, when she was still alive, those children would be mamzerim, but any children born after the point that she actually died would not be mamzerim. And then comes along with Yosi Omer, kol she posai de acherim posai de atzmo, v'chol she ina posai de acherim ina posai de atzmo. So the Rashi tells us that Rabbi Yosi is going to be explaining the Mishnah. We'll get to him in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain the position of Rabbi Yosi. So we'll leave him aside for now. Yeah.
Distinction between the two cases. In the first case, after they said that your wife died, she came back.
Right.
In the second case, after they said your wife died, they came back and they said she's still alive, and then she died.
Right. It's a strange case why they separate them into two different cases.
It should be the same. You think they're the same.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Maybe the Gemara is going to explain this. I don't know.
But that may be what Rabbi Yossi is going on.
The first case talk without children, and the second case.
But you could just teach one case, and you could teach it halachas of children and her. But you're right, the first case is talking about the status of each other,
yeah.
And the second case is talking about the status of the children. I agree. Okay, so Gemara says now, V'afagav de'azel ishto v'githo l'medinas hayam. Even though his wife goes overseas, along with his brother-in-law. Right, so that's the husband of his wife's sister. So let's get this straight. You have two sisters.
Giso, who's Giso?
Giso is his brother-in-law.
Meaningful.
He's married. The husband and wife. Wife's sister. And then the husband.
Brother.
So the brother-in-law's over there, that's his Giso.
Okay.
So,
the brother-in-law with his wife went to Medinat Hayam.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, even though the wife and the brother-in-law went over to Medinat Hayam, the honey nisum, the mikasre eishes giso, agiso, fuhachi eishes giso asiri isho shari. So what's going on here? So even though they both went overseas, the honey nisum. So what's it saying here? So Rashi says, Rashi fills in some of the stuff we're missing here. Rashi writes, V'gisa, towards the top, Baal achos isha, right? The husband of his wife's sister, like we just said. Uba eidecha, the eidecha comes along, V'amar lo mesa ishtecha, your wife died. Ulazu amar meis balecha, and he says to the sister, your husband died. V'omivinasa, they get married, V'acharkach bo isha v'gisa. So, again, one of the, again, here, I'll make the map for you here. Husband, wife. Let's do it this way. Yeah, husband, wife, sister, and husband. They're not related. These are two sisters and two unrelated husbands. This wife and this husband go overseas. Together, not together, doesn't make a difference. They're just not home. They're told, the respective husbands and wives, that his wife died and her husband died. So now they're mutter because since the sister's dead and her husband died also, she's free to marry each other. So they marry each other. Then both spouses show up. So what's the halacha? Says the Gemara. Afagav again, the azil ishto v'gisol midin sayam, de ahani hani nesuin, de mikasre, eishes giso agiso. So what's going to happen is, when the husband shows up, now the giso shows up, so that's going to aser, is going to now aser the husband to the sister. That's going to create an iser.
It's
going to
aser the sister-in-law onto her own husband, who now shows up.
Oh, so the sister-in-law is aser. Right, she's aser to her husband, because since she was with another man, she's now aser to her husband. Let's read that again. Again, the afagav, the ezel isha v'gitzel midasayam, the ani, hani nesuin, the second nesuin is going to the kmitasre eishes giso agiso. It's going to aser the sister to her own husband, because she's with another man now. Where? You see? The honey, honey, nisun? You see that? Yeah. The honey means it's going to be a good nisun. Or not good, but... It should be in the first page of the...
It's not in the first
page. Yeah,
the honey nisun.
Yeah. So the honey, honey, nisun. The nisun are going to be good enough of the second nisun that happened, are going to be good. It's going to aser the sister, his sister-in-law, to her own husband, because since she was with another man, she's aser to her husband. Despite that fact, even though the wife of the giso is aser to her own husband, ishto sharia, his own wife is mutter to her, even though he was with his own wife's sister, which is aser, it's not going to aser him from staying married to his own wife, even though he's with
her. It's going to aser her to
right.
with her own wife.
It's going to aser her to be with her husband.
Yeah,
it won't aser him from being with her, yes. His wife. The law marina, we don't say, mitoch shenasa eishes giso, agiso tesa ishto alav. So we don't say such a klal of, since the eishes giso, the wife of the brother-in-law is usher to her, the brother-in-law now, they're usher to each other, so too we should say that his own wife should be usher to him. We don't say such a klal. Okay. A little bit confusing. So Gemara says, now Lema, let's say, Lema masnisin de lo Rabbi Kiva. This Mishnah is not like Rabbi Kiva. Why? Di Rabbi Kiva havele achas grushasa. Because if it's Rabbi Kiva, this would be an issue of a sister of his grusha, and a sister of a grusha is aser. It's only mutter to marry the sister of one who died. But a sister of someone who got divorced is aser. So what does that mean here? Let's look at the Gemara is going to continue and says that Ditanya kol arayos shebetorah ein shichos heimeno get. If anyone attempts to get married to one of the arayos, it's not chal, it's not tofes, and there's no need for a get. You just stop being with each other. But chutz meishes ish and nasis al pi bezin. But if the neishes ish with the authorization of Bezdin and goes ahead and marries somebody else, and turns out that her husband shows up, then she requires a get. That's the only arayos that require a get. Comes on Rabbi Kiva, most if he adds someone onto the list, af eishes ach v'achos isha. So to these situations, then eishes ach, so if let's say there, she's told that her husband dies, and she performs yibum with her brother-in-law, and then the husband shows up, then she requires a get from her own brother-in-law. And also, the wife of his sister, if he's told that his wife dies and he marries his sister, and then she shows up, his original wife shows up, they require a get from that second sister. So this is since this is that case. The case is where he married the sister thinking his wife died, and then the initial wife shows up. He has to give a get to that second sister. So it ends up being that she's a grusha. How could he now stay married to his own wife? It's a achaz grusha. It's a sister of his grusha, of the second sister he gave a divorce to. She's a grusha. He can't stay married, even though his wife was the original wife, but now she's achaz grusha. What?
Now it's his solo layout.
Right. Well, I guess in essence, yeah. So in the chayvan damar Rabbi Kiva beiget. Since Rabbi Kiva requires a get in this case, when you incorrectly marry the sister thinking that your wife is dead. Now it ends up being that your first wife becomes asa to him because she's the sister of your grusha now.
Yeah. Even though it's a grusha, but they're a bana, right? Because the get that you're giving right. her is not
it's only
grusha,
based on Rabbi
Akiva. Yeah. Only Rabbi Akiva, but he said, right, but and also pointing out, it's only a get they're a bana, but we take it seriously anyway.
Of course, you know, we're both going to, at least the Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Akiva, you take it seriously at this point.
Right. So the Gemara says back, wait a second. Didn't we already have such a statement qualifying this din? Amar of Gida, Amar of Bichia, Bar Yosef, Amar Rav, Hai Eishes Ach, Hechidam. What's the situation where she marries her own brother-in-law? Kigon Shekidesh Achiv Esa Isha, Halach Lemidin Esayam. So a man engages his wife. And the man, the chassan, before getting married yet, goes overseas. V'shama Shemes Achiv, and the Kala hears that her husband died, her husband-to-be. They're engaged, but not married yet, that the chassan dies. Amud v'nasas ishto. So the brother-in-law now goes ahead and marries this woman.
She needs a yibum.
Right. Well, right. Well, there's no yibum unless there's marriage, actually, if based on kedushin. Right, I think only there's nesu'in, there's a marriage.
She kiddush achiv et ha'isha.
Yeah, but not because of yibum.
Kiddush, engaged.
V'alach l'mdinat ha'yam, shema shemet achiv. עמד ונשאת אשתו בתורת יבום.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
ולאחר זמן חזר יהיה.
Okay. Fine. So the Amri, so he goes ahead and performs Yibum. Dami inshe, hach kama tana havalei, bekedushin, pai shaper nasiv. So what happens, what are people going to say? So people are going to say that the first one made a tanai in his kedushin. He said, listen, I'm going to get engaged to you, but I'm going overseas. If I never make it back to you, the Kedushin won't be Chal. And they're going to say that. And that's why he got married to her appropriately. How are you fitting this in right now?
So people would say that it's not even Kedushin. The Kedushin is not Chal.
Oh, so now when he comes back, I think this is talking about now when the man comes back and she returns to the first one, people will say,
no, you find that the first guy, because he didn't come back and he made it nai, when it's sashin batug lo hayta ishto meulam. He made it nai, if I don't come back,
okay,
you're divorced. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what they think. People are gonna think.
Okay.
People are gonna think that's what happened.
So because of this nai, she was never his wife.
So they're going to think,
and therefore, the second brother
is a good marriage.
It's a good marriage.
And how can you live without a divorce? So you need a divorce. It's just, you don't really need a divorce because they're not really married, the second ones. But since people are going to think, they're going to create this whole situation where probably the first brother went overseas with a condition that if I don't come back, it's going to be, if I don't come back within 30 days, let's say, the condition is batal. They're going to create this situation in their mind and think it's really a good marriage with the second brother. And then the first husband shows up and she goes to live with the first brother. So they're going to think, how could she leave the second marriage? Wasn't there a real marriage there? So we make them give a get to say, oh, yes, they're married. Okay, they're married, fine. Here's the get. They're done. Now she goes ahead and marries the first brother. Even though there was never really a marriage in the second marriage, and there's no need for get, just to deal with people's misperceptions. So that's the situation when it comes to Eishes Ach. That's why you require a get, according to Rabbi Kiva. Now we move on to the other case of Hai Achos Isha Nami. Hechidami. What's the case of a sister? Person marries his wife's sister. He engages a woman. She goes overseas. He hears that she dies. She goes ahead and marries the sister. So what's going to happen here? Now the first wife shows up. So we can't just let him get separated from the second sister without a divorce. Why? Because people are going to say, Damri Inshi, people are going to say yet again, the first sister had a Tanai, she gave a, they got engaged, but on condition you come back within 30 days. She didn't show up, the Kedushin was batal. That means the second marriage, Vahai the Shabri Nasav, and the second marriage was a good marriage, and now they're letting him walk away from that marriage without a divorce, and he goes ahead and marries somebody else, the sister, no less, which is an Issa Deraisa. So we therefore require her to receive a get just to deal with people's misconceptions, and then she could go marry. So it's not really a grusha. That basically answers the question. She's not really a grusha at all, and never ends up being a sister of a grusha. So that's why that a Mishnah does not go against Rabbi Kiva. Only in a case where there's a vada grusha do we say that you can't marry achas grusha. But the grusha in this case, Rabbi Kiva, it's really a dinder abana, a chumra ba'alma, not even a chumra ba'alma, just to deal with people's misconceptions, and therefore she's not really grusha, and then the initial wife won't be an achas grusha.
But don't forget that we're dealing with Arayot. I think she's alive now, it's so correct.
No, but he's not marrying sisters, though, because the second marriage with the sister was never a marriage, because he already was attached to the first sister.
I understand, but he's not allowed to, when the sister came back alive. So now there's a soul karet to begin with, min chatchila.
Why?
Because she was alive the whole time. And you're not allowed to touch your sister.
That's fine. What happened. But moving forward now, it's not going to answer him to his initial wife. The only iser of sisters is if he marries two sisters. He can't marry two sisters. So he's married to the sister. Thinking she's dead, he marries a second sister. Finds out afterwards that she never died. So that means the marriage to the second sister was never chal. Ah, but they were mizana with each other, not knowing though. That zinus will not forbid him to his initial wife.
That's to blood.
If they have children with the second sister, those children will become zerim. But that issue with someone, when a husband, in general, husbands with another woman, husbands with another woman, that will not answer him to his own wife. Only if a married woman with another man will answer her to her husband.
So he's allowed back to the first wife.
Correct.
Which he was originally married.
Correct.
Was married to. And this doesn't make it any issue because of the karet factor here.
Right. Okay. Where are we now?
Shalom Nesuin.
Ah. Shalom Nesuin. Meek Lememer Tanai Havalai. Nesuin. So.
So Chashash is when he's engaged to the first wife. And people may suspect that there was a Tanai in the initial Kedushin. So that's why. But in this case.
He married the second sister.
No, in this case he was married to the first wife.
Oh, to the first wife. The first wife.
Yeah, people don't suspect their Tanai in true Nesuin, in true marriages.
So they really got married, and then thinking that this wife died, went ahead and married this second sister. First sister shows up, so in such a case, there's no need for get there, because no one's going to think that the first marriage wasn't a marriage, it was a marriage, and no one would think that's all based on Tanai. So why could he walk away from the second marriage? Because the second marriage was never chal, because he already was attached to the first sister. And for that reason, we're explaining our Mishnah now, our Mishnah...
Why you wouldn't need a get.
It wouldn't be Achaz Grusha. Right. Okay. So Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kana, Rabbi Kiva, if Rabbi Kiva were to be the author, listening Nami Chamosa, so if Rabbi Kiva were to be the author of this Mishnah, right, if it Rabbi Kiva would be consistent with the Mishnah, teach a case of Chamoso as well. See, Rashi says, Rashi, Rabbi Kiva, if Rabbi Kiva really was consistent with our Mishnah, if we're really trying hard to make Rabbi Kiva the author of our Mishnah, listen, Chamosa, Amula Mesa, Ishecha, Vanasa, Ima. The Rabbi Kiva, Chamosa, Lacha, Misa, Isha, Sharia. We should have taught a case of a Chamosa, whereby what? That you say his mother-in-law,
his wife went to Medina Siam, she dies, and instead of marrying his sister-in-law, he marries his mother-in-law.
Right, because Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, as we see in the Gemara now, the Hashemina le the Rabbi Kiva damar chamos alachem misa lav, damar chamos alachem misa. Is that next lav part of that statement? La b'sreifa, right? La b'sreifa. Interesting that spell
Sreifa
like that.
Is that an answer?
I think it's part of the statement. La b'sreifa hi. That the halacha is normally a person cannot marry his wife's mother-in-law, then it's a deraisa, it's a sreifa, the chi of sreifa there. But after his wife dies, there's no longer it's a sreifa. One can marry his mother-in-law after his wife dies.
Is there any issue to begin with? If his wife died? It's not Isur.
If his wife is alive.
No, if his wife died.
Yeah.
And he married his mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
This is Isur.
Most people say yes. Only Rabbi Kiva seems to say no.
And we'll see that in a second. How Rabbi Kiva knows that. Rabbi Kiva holds that you're allowed to marry the mother-in-law.
So Rabbi Kiva, there's no Isur. There's not a problem.
Right. So let's see this Rabbi Kiva. The Tanya. Be'esh Yisrafu Oso Veshen Oso. Right. Be'esh Yisrafu Oso Veshen. So where's the whole pasuk on the side here? V'isha she'ikach es isha ves ima, says the pasuk. A man marries a woman and her mother, in other words, his mother-in-law. Zima he, it's obviously a zima, it's bad, it's disgusting. Be'esh yisufu oso vesen. And you have to, they get a din asreifa, him and them. Him and also the wife and the mother-in-law, maybe one of them. Can't be both of them, but says the Rash, the Gemara explains now, what does that mean? Oso vesen, oso ves achas mem. Him and one of them, meaning the second one he was with. If he's married to his wife, so that means him and the mother-in-law get sreifa. What?
Oto v'uta. Why him?
I don't know.
It means plural.
That's in either of them.
Ma?
Either of them.
That's the perush of the word at him.
Look at Rashi.
If you would have said Osa, you would have thought just her, or just her. At him means it could be either this one, or it could be that one. It's a drasha.
That's the drasha that they make?
Look at Rashi for the drasha. Rashi, es achas mehen. Shekain, you see that?
No.
Es achas mehen.
Yeah.
Es achas mehen shekein beloshin yivani in Greek, koren laachas hina. V'amarachmana acharona shenasa bisus tesarif. Es achas hein means hina, achas means one. Why you use loshin yivanis in this context, I have no idea why. But that's what it means. That's shot in the pasuk. You kill him, he gets burned, and one of them, namely the second one, the mother-in-law, get burnt. That's all according to Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Comes along Rabbi Kiva, omer oso ves shtehen, him and both them. So what do you mean both of them, says Rashi? Oso v'eshtein is a long Rashi here. Wow. Right, so let's look at Rashi anyways. Rashi, oso v'eshtein. The Gemara in Sanhedrin wants to know what's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Havada isha gemur lo amar. Certainly his wife does not get killed. Lo amar Rabbi Kiva de b'sreifa. Sherei aniyazu machata harei behet de nesas. What'd she do? She got married, okay. She did nothing wrong. The fact that her husband was with his mother-in-law has nothing to do with her. She shouldn't get burned. So clearly the Isha, it's not referring to Shtehem, both of them. So Amar Bai says, Mashmaos Dorshin Ikabanao. There's a nafkamina between Mashmaos and Dorshin. So that's where the nafkamina is. The Gemara goes on here to say that. The Rabbi Kiva Savar Tarti Ksivi, that the word Eshen means both of them, both the husband and the mother-in-law die. Chamoso Veim Chamoso, nafkamihad krad de b'sreifa. Both of them refer to the mother-in-law, rather, and the grandmother-in-law. It's also going to be bichlal this discussion here. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Only the mother-in-law is going to be usher. That's what Abai says. Okay, I'm just kind of skim through this Rashi. That's according to Abai. Abai says the machlokes is how you teach the pasuk, and how you teach a pasuk is going to create a nafkamina with respect to the grandmother-in-law, whether she's included or not. But then it comes along. I'm reading the Rashi. I'm going to say outside. Rashi says according to Rava though the nafkamina is. The chamos of the mother-in-law after the wife dies is a nafkamina. Rabbi Shmuel holds, even after the wife dies, there's still a chiv sreifa on their mother-in-law.
Even if it was in shogeg, we're talking, the Mishnah is talking about shogeg.
No, mezid. You only get sreifa by mezid.
No, so the pasuk is talking about mezid. But the old case wasn't mezid. Meaning, she left, he thought he died, he married the mother. And then find out.
Fine. But we're trying to figure out right now the connection, what the halacha is in general. The mother-in-law to the is there a heter for the mother-in-law to the son-in-law after she dies? So again, Abaye says in the nafkamina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel understands the word eshen means both of them. Rabbi Kiva means eshen means one of them. So in the first nafkamina is that eshen both of them refers to both the mother-in-law and the grandmother are included in the iser sreifa according to Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Kiva says no. If he was with the grandmother-in-law. If he marries the grandmother-in-law, there's going to be an issur sreifa, a chiv sreifa on the grandmother-in-law. But Rabbi Kiva hidden thinks, no, only goes one generation up. The issur only applies to the mother-in-law. Then comes along, again, all outside, Rava, I'm reading Rashi outside. Rava says, no, the nafkamina is as follows. If the mother, if the wife dies, is there a heter to marry the mother-in-law now? According to Rabbi Shmuel, he says, there is no heter. Shtehen means that even, Rabbi Shmuel says, eshen means one of them. Even if only one of them are alive, even if the wife dies and the mother-in-law is still alive by herself, there still exists eshen, there still is a chiv. Rabbi Kiva says, no, eshen means shteyem, they both have to be alive for there to be the chiv sreifa. If one of them dies, namely the wife dies, then there's a heter to marry the mother-in-law. So let's see that inside now. So the Gemara says, again, let's go take it from Ditanya. Be'esh yisrifu osov esen. With fire, you should burn him and esen. What does esen mean? Osov es achas men divir Rabbi Shmuel, one of them. Rabbi Kiva omer osov es shtem, both of them. So what does this mean? Bishmal abay damar meshmal darshin ika benayu. The nafkamin is how you touch the pasuk is going to generate whether only the mother-in-law is aser or you go shteyen or even the grandmother. You go two generations, it's going to be aser as well. That the Rabbi Yishmael ksavar chadaksiv, only one, namely the mother-in-law only. Rabbi Kiva ksavar tartiksiv shapir. Then both generations, even the grandmother, are going to be aser. But ella l'rava damar chamosa l'acher misa ika benayu. But if Rava thinks that after the death of the wife, there's a machlokas whether the mother-in-law is going to be mutter now to the husband or not. So then, if according to that, Rabbi Kiva says the mother-in-law is mutter after she dies, because osehen means shtehen. Only both the wife and mother are alive is there going to be an issur to the mother-in-law. But if she dies, the wife, then the mother-in-law is mutter. So according to this shot of Rava's understanding of Rabbi Kiva, asks Gemara, listen, nami chamoso. Why did our Mishnah not present a situation of where their mother-in-law, the wife, goes overseas, he's told that his wife dies, he goes ahead and marries the mother-in-law, which is mutter according to Rabbi Kiva, and then the wife shows up. Why do we only create a situation of a sister as opposed to a mother-in-law?
It's the same case.
It's a similar case, but why exactly? But why not also do a parallel case of the chamoso? You're saying, in a chanami, just why, we're not going to talk about every single situation. The Gemara says, no, it should have. It should have said, o achoso, o chamoso. Either case could have been, they both should have been presented.
Yeah.
That's the shaila here. So Amrlei, the response back is, Nihi de miyatakra meisrefa mi isur mi miyatakra. So wait a second. We said there's no srefa. Srefa only exists as sena, only if both of them are alive. But never said that they're mutter. No one said it's mutter to be the chamosa. This is an isser, just not an isser, not a chiyuv srefa. Okay. Should we stop here? And this actually happens to be a stopping point now. How does tomorrow's staff look? No, not particularly short. But it does seem like a good stopping point anyways. So let's stop here then.
Shkoyach.
Okay, that was an involved one. Okay, shkoyach, everybody.